Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. It is Thursday, January the 7th, 2021, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour, and we have got a jam-packed show for you this morning. Coming up in hour number two, a little bit of housekeeping here. We are going to be joined by a longtime friend of this program. She is a panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group, as well as a reporter for The Daily Beast. Eleanor Clift, who, by the way, makes her home in Washington, D.C., which is a very important fact to note at this particular point in light of what happened yesterday. Well, I don't even know if I have to explain it to you. Yesterday, obviously, is a day that will go down in history without question. There was a rally in D.C. yesterday. President Donald Trump's supporters were there. The president spoke, and not long after, the Capitol was stormed and infiltrated by these protesters. Windows broken, and at this point, I believe the count is one person dead in this scuffle yesterday. But if you look at the USA Today this morning, the headline, if you've been asleep all night, Congress affirms Biden's election win. Pence confirms Biden's win. Trump pledges orderly transition. That's where we are this morning as the sun rises in this country on the East Coast. The first guest this morning, nobody I would rather have than a man who was with ABC News for so many years covering the Washington beat. He knows all the players. He's interviewed Donald Trump, been to the Capitol many times. It's a morning. We turn to our pal, Sam Donaldson. Sam, what a morning.
What a morning, Scott. January 7th, joining December 7th. That's another day which you'll live in infamy. This is something that many Americans, I was one of them, watching television, looking at the process that was supposed to be routine. And suddenly in the Senate chamber, it stopped without explanation, and people began to leave. And the presiding officer, who was the vice president at that point, stepped down very quickly. And it was reminiscent to me of a day on November 22nd, 1963, when I was in the Senate gallery, and suddenly Congress stopped. And we know what happened then. And very quickly it was very apparent what was happening. And I think most of us were horrified at first as we watched these demonstrators, well, no, terrorists, assault our Capitol and rush into the Capitol. And then I think, like many Americans, Scott, I was filled with a white-hot anger, which has not dissipated yet. I hope it does, because you can't make rational decisions when you're in an emotional, white-hot anger. But what I saw must never, ever happen again.
Sam, there were some things we knew going into yesterday. We knew this rally was going to happen. We knew the president was going to speak at it. We knew these votes were going to happen yesterday in the Senate and Congress, that the confirmations needed to take place. We knew all of this. What happened in between that caused this outburst yesterday afternoon that's historic without question?
Well, let's talk about that, and let's talk about two or three things that, from what happened yesterday must immediately be done, in my opinion, because like a pack of mad dogs running wild through the countryside, carrying, you know, the deadly rabies virus, these terrorists who stormed the capital of the United States must be found, stopped, and rendered incapable of repeating their rampage in Washington, D.C., or anywhere else in the country. And I noticed this morning the Columbus newspaper, the two U.S. attorneys in Ohio pledged to track them down and prosecute them to the full extent of the law. I mean, one of them, make no mistake, said the U.S. attorney David DeVilliers. He tweeted yesterday, anyone who traveled from the Southern District of Ohio with the intent to commit such crimes will be prosecuted in the Southern District of Ohio. Yeah, Well, so let's talk about two or three things here, because they were like a pack of mad dogs running wild through the countryside, carrying that, you know, deadly rabies virus. Now, like that, these terrorists who stormed the Capitol must be found, they must be stopped, they must be rendered incapable of repeating their rampage anywhere in the country, and their leader, who summoned them to Washington, urged them to march on the Capitol, confront lawmakers, he did nothing to demand they halt their violence, afterward calling them beautiful, said he loved them. He must be removed from office immediately as provided by the 25th Amendment and temporarily incarcerated if necessary to prevent his further fomenting riot in disobedience to his oath of office and the rule of law and order pending further action against him in the courts. And I must tell you something. Liz Cheney, for instance, who is the third-ranking Republican leader in the House of Representatives, the daughter, of course, of former Vice President Cheney, said this yesterday. There's no question the president fomented the mob. The president incited the mob. He lit the flame. And she's exactly right. So finally, I've got to tell you, Scott, we must have a blue ribbon panel. Must be impaneled immediately to investigate the reasons why law enforcement and the protective measures that we would expect to have been in place were not in place. I mean, as you pointed out, everyone knew this was going to happen. He summoned them to Washington. He told them it would be a wild time. He addressed them and told them to march to Capitol Hill. His attorney, Rudy Giuliani, said to them, remember, we must fight this with everything we have. And his son, Donald Trump Jr., said, we're coming for you. And when we got to Capitol Hill, when they got there, thousands of them, an estimated 40,000, were there. They broke through very quickly, 2,200 Capitol policemen in total, and they were all on duty. No National Guard, no police from Washington until suddenly it happened. So this panel must investigate this and make certain that, A, measures are taken so it'll never happen again, could never happen again, and again, help identify what happened, who's responsible, and who must be punished severely under the law for this.
Sam,
as you can see, I still am in my white-hot anger mode, and I apologize.
I think a lot of Americans are this morning, and there's a lot to unpack here, and I want to start with this. Now, President Trump's preferred means of public communication, Twitter, on Wednesday put him on notice. If he does not stop breaking the platform's rules, he will be permanently banned. And this was the quote, future violations of the Twitter rules, including our civil integrity or violent threats policies, will result in a permanent suspension of the @RealDonaldTrump account, Twitter officials said in a statement. The announcement follows Twitter's taking the unprecedented move of locking Trump's account for 12 hours following the removal of 3 tweets that it required Trump remove over severe violations of our civic integrity policy. And that's a quote from them, severe violations of our civic integrity policy. Now, before, Sam, you come back in on this, I want to play this. I've thought about this all night. This is the video that was on Twitter. We all saw it on the networks yesterday. Now, you have to understand, when this video came out, if you weren't paying attention to this yesterday, the Capitol has already been stormed when this video is put out. The president is aware of what's going on at this point. This is not from the rally. This is the one-minute video. Here it is.
Development here.
Let's take a listen here on WWGH Radio this morning. It was something.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
The President of the United States while the Capitol is being stormed. Sam, when you saw that video, what'd you think?
He's deranged. I think he's mentally ill, although I'm not qualified with medical training to make that judgment. But I think we can see when someone is off their rocker, which is a very polite way of putting it. Now, of course, I do not want, once he's indicted, if he is, I hope he is, for crimes, I don't want him to use a defense of insanity. I want him prosecuted under the full law otherwise. But you mentioned his Twitter account, which was locked. Here is the last tweet, though, and it was removed after that he made yesterday afternoon as the rioting had taken place. And the tweet from Donald J. Trump, I quote, "These are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Go home with love and in peace. Remember this day forever." We will. And after his account was locked, in his name but not him, a tweet came from Trump's social media director, Dan Scavino. Here is his tweet. Quoting the president, "Even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. Scavino for the president. Now, still no concession. Still no, I now agree that Joseph Biden Jr. has lawfully been selected as the president-elect of the United States and will be sworn in as president. Not from this man. He will never do it. He will never do it because he thinks only of himself. And I think, as I say, he's deranged. He's nuts.
You know, Sam, a very well-known doctor last night who, I'm going to say maybe a year or two ago, confided in me that they truly, and it was off the air, truly thought that the president really did suffer from some mental illness, messaged me yesterday and said, you know, do you remember when I brought this up to you? Look what happened today. Is this really a serious, I mean, we're not doctors, but is this seriously mental illness at this point, 25th Amendment time stuff?
Well, I want the 25th Amendment invoked. You say there's only 13 more days. I don't care. In 13 days, although we have safeguards now, he cannot launch a nuclear war. The people in charge of carrying out such a order will not do it. He will not be able to start an ordinary war. The people in charge of dispatching U.S. forces to do that will not do it. I think that's quite clear. They made it clear. General Milley, who's not in the chain of command, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, but the people who are. But here, you say, deranged. Let me just quote a few things that were said about him yesterday, many of them coming from his former supporters. One administration official was described Trump's behavior Wednesday as that of a, I quote, total monster. While another said the situation was insane and beyond the pale. These were reports that I'm reading from the media. Well, the fake media, right? As you know, Trump has been furious with the vice president. His days of praising Vice President Pence are over. He wants him out, and he wants his chief of staff, the vice president, barred from the White House. He's in a rage. And he, you know, they once said we must call him the National Guard. He resisted that. He didn't want to do that. So who's deserted him now? Senator Graham from South Carolina. No more loyal Trumpster than was on Capitol Hill, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And he said, Trump and I had a hell of a journey. I hated being this way. Oh, my God, I hate it. But today, all I can say is count me out. The rats are running up the hawser. Enough is enough. I tried to be helpful. Oh, yes, you were helpful. You helped foment sedition. And we can talk about what sedition is later. Mitt Romney, of course, has opposed the president all along. The single vote from a Republican to remove him from office, said, "We gather today due to a selfish man's injured pride and the outrage of his supporters, whom he has deliberately misinformed for the past 2 months and stirred to action." And I must tell you, earlier in the day, I'm not a great fan of Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who denied Barack Obama, his nominee, to even get a hearing to the Supreme Court for 11 months at the end of Obama's term. McConnell said from the floor, "The voters, the courts, and the states have all spoken. If we overrule them all, it would damage our republic forever. If this election were overturned by mere allegations from the losing side, our democracy would enter a death spiral. We'd never see the whole nation accept an election again." I could keep on, but I won't. But I think suddenly the tide has turned, and I shouldn't call them rats, but his loyal supporters, I'm talking about those who know better, because I think so many of his supporters in the country are ignorant. I don't use the term pejoratively. I simply say factually, they don't know. They don't know the facts. They won't listen to you. If there was anyone who tuned you in and you introduced me, they turned it off right away. They didn't want to hear what I have to say. I'm the enemy. Not just an enemy of the nation as a former reporter, but the scum, leftists, the socialists, and communists, and all of that. I don't know how to reach these people, but we must reach them. We must help them. They're Americans, and we must find a way. And I think what you see today is the leaders who helped propagate the lies and spread the lies from Donald J. Trump and Donald J. Trump Jr. and go on down the list and Rudy Giuliani. I think they're running up the hawser. They now are jumping ship. Talk about loyalty. Well, of course, Trump has never been loyal to anyone, so I guess it's fair play that now he gets no loyalty from these people. But I think we are now already in a redemption mood, already coming back from the brink. And I say it's not worth it yesterday to what happened to bring us back from the brink, but I think it may have.
I want to get to that in a second, but I want to run down some of the names that you just mentioned, because I think this is important. Now, this was before the Capitol was stormed yesterday, but there had been a question about Mike Pence. A lot of talk had been thrown around on whether he would do what he needed to do, and yesterday, before the Capitol was stormed, he did say that only lawmakers can decide whether to accept or reject the Electoral College votes won by President-elect Joe Biden. Now, when that happened, President Trump tweeted out, and this is the exact tweet, "Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution." That was from President Trump. What is that relationship at this particular point? Is it completely out the window?
Well, I don't know, of course, but I suspect it is. Mike Pence did the right thing. He warned the president privately that he had no authority to do anything but preside over the counting of the ballots from the states. And Trump wouldn't accept that, because Trump must have been a little bit of amazed. He, all of his adult life, following his father's lead and that of Roy Cohn, the lawyer from McCarthy's era, he has done what he wants to do, and people will do what he is. Indeed, there are lackeys for him. And Trent Spence suddenly was standing up on his hind legs and saying, "No, I cannot do this, and I won't do this." And when he opened the Senate, he gave a very proper speech explaining that these election returns would be certified if found to be in regular order from the states. And we're told that watching that, Trump went into a white-hot rage against, well, hey, join the crowd, Donald, of the White Hot Rage crew. Now, what this may be is this. Does Trump either pardon himself, as well as Ivanka and Donald Trump, all on Judy Giuliani, and all those people in the days following? Or, since that pardon would be very suspect legally and would be challenged immediately, one scheme was he resigns 2 days from the end of his term, and the new president of the United States, Mike Pence, pardons him, and it's hard to call that illegal, except, of course, it would be challenged for the grounds of the scheme that it was. Well, that can't be now, I don't think. I think Mike Pence would not do that. His own future, which he's begun a course of redemption for, would be immediately shot down. And I think maybe in this man, who I don't know well at all, when he was in Congress, I didn't know who he was. I think I met him one time. I think this man has demonstrated, finally, that he's not going to be under the thumb, and he does the right, the moral, the ethical thing. And so I don't think if I were Donald Trump, I could count on him anymore to save me.
I'm going to group three people here together. And last night, if people were watching the speeches that were coming from the Senate and the House, it was really something, and I don't know how many people did that. But the three names I'm going to group here are Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Mitt Romney, of course, all Republicans. Now, Mitch McConnell said something right before the storming. A paraphrase of what he said was essentially, this election wasn't even close. Lindsey Graham last night, after the Capitol was stormed, said, I didn't want Joe Biden to be president, but I'm done with this. This is too much. Mitt Romney, not always a fan of the president, but he did meet with him after President Trump was elected back in 2016 for a Secretary of State position. So people have always had a mixed feeling about Mitt Romney, that maybe he's a front runner. Leads to the question of this. A story that is not on the front page today is that the Republicans have lost the Senate. Chuck Schumer will be the head of the Senate very soon. Mitch McConnell will not. Now, did these guys yesterday have the moment where all of a sudden, this is not okay, you cannot storm the Capitol, you can't put these videos out, you can't do these things, or do they realize this is over? We've lost the Senate, we've lost the House, and we've lost the presidency. Which really happened yesterday?
Well, I think a combination of things, and I'll give you my opinion, beginning with Mitch McConnell. I've already talked about him. I think he gave not only a very good speech, but a demanding speech, trying finally to get the 12 senators who had already said at that point, before the rioting, that they would object to Biden's succession to the presidency. Mitch McConnell has not had, in his heart of hearts, clearly, a fond relationship for Donald J. Trump from the beginning. But as a leader of the conservative Republican majority in the Senate, Trump was useful. We talk about the great phrase used to apply to people who that were communist sympathizers, useful idiots. He was a useful man because he had a pen and a signature which would enact the laws that Mitch McConnell and the conservative Republicans wanted. But that did not mean he loved Donald Trump. And there are many times during Trump's presidency, McConnell actually stood up. When Trump withdrew, perhaps you recall this, Scott, U.S. forces from Syria abruptly, leaving our allies, the Kurds, there to be killed and slaughtered, McConnell, on the Senate floor in a speech, called it not just a mistake, he said it was a grave mistake, which jeopardized the security of the United States, which, of course, was true. So McConnell has never liked Trump. And I think as the years went by, and particularly in recent days after the election and Trump began his scheme and his assault on the orderly transition of power, the idea that he would not ever give up power, McConnell was not on his side and did everything he could. And finally, the reason he withheld his announcement that, yes, he conceded that Biden was the president-elect and congratulated him until the last minute in mid-December after the electors had met, was to try to save the Georgia races, try to save his majority, try to save the fact that these two senators in Georgia had to be elected. In fact, oh, that's call it what you will, that's expediency. But McConnell, I think, is in a different camp from Lindsey Graham, who was no more fierce critic of Donald J. Trump in 2015 and into 2016. He called him names that even I couldn't think of. But then, when Trump came to power and was coming to power, and the looked at his constituency in South Carolina and saw that they were all Trumpsters, or the majority of them were, he suddenly became the Trumpster paramount, the guy who golfed with the president, the guy who carried his water. He was a shill. He was a transit of Donald J. Trump. And now, oh, now trying to find refuge somewhere on this firmament where he's not considered a worm, a serpent, a turncoat, a man of integrity again. He says, oh, it's a hell of a ride, but now it's over. I can't take this. You can't take this. So who was the third person you mentioned?
Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney.
Well, he was a lone vote against, yes. I remember, too. He went pandering to the new president-elect, wanting to be Secretary of State. Oh, Mitt. Huh. Some people I've met for years, my 52 years in Washington, cannot stand being out of power. It doesn't matter how can they hold on to power. And for a brief moment, Mitt was one of them. But then, quickly, and in a lonely sense, although he was pretty secure in Utah, he knew he was going to be reelected in Utah. That's his home. He's a good, he's a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints. They, of course, the big force in Utah politics, began to criticize Trump and has been a steadfast critic, including to be the one person on the Republican side that voted on one of the two articles of impeachment to remove him from office. It took some courage, even though, again, in Utah, he was okay politically, I suppose, but in the Republican Party. And I hope we can get to that a little later on. What happens? Quo vadis, Republicans. What happens? Because the party's destroyed. The Senate majority is destroyed by Donald J. Trump. Went down. He put the nail, the last nail for Kelly Loeffler, who, by the way, was going to object, and she withdrew the objection yesterday after what happened at the Capitol. She said, I'm not going to object. But she's defeated now, of course, and Purdue was defeated. The last nail was when he went down on Monday night. That was weak. And instead of working hard to buttress their ability to get out the vote for them, once again, his grievance of being deprived of this great election which was stolen from him dominated, and left them betwixt or between. So those are the three. And every time we come back in this discussion, we come back to Donald J. Trump and the wreckage. Everybody who's connected with him, all of his hope, has either lost their money, lost their freedom, lost their reputation. You can't do business with a man whose only business is himself.
Just want to mention this in passing, because I do want to talk about the Republican Party, and there's also something else I want to talk about, which I think is very important. But I think it should be said that all former four living presidents yesterday, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter, all released statements. Bill Clinton mentioned President Trump by name in the statement, and certainly President Obama referred to him very heavily, as did George Bush vaguely in his statement. Carter's was a little more diplomatic. Just with a minute here, Sam, so we can get to these more important issues, I think. But that these presidents were labeling him by name, that this is his fault, the current sitting president, for 13 more days. Was there any significance to their statement yesterday, the former presidents?
To the extent that ordinary people, normal people in this country, continue to have some reverence for presidents who have not disgraced themselves as we see today, or as Richard Nixon did, it may make some impact. But I think everyone now just has to look at their own heart and their own mind. And the thing I can come back to that I worry about is the vast number of Americans who voted for Trump not because it was expedient, not because they liked what was happening in the stock market, but they truly believed that he was talking to them and would redress their grievances, whether it was a grievance economically, that they couldn't make it anymore, that their jobs were lost, whether it was grievance of bigotry, get those Mexicans out of here and those dark-looking people, whether it was a grievance. He spoke to them. How do we reclaim them? How do we bring them back? This is not Vietnam, where when the North overran the South, they simply had re-education camps. They didn't slaughter all the people of the South. No, they re-educated them. I don't know how to do this.
We've got about 15 minutes left with Sam Donaldson here this morning, and I want to get to the Republican Party, but this is a question that was a little overshadowed yesterday because of all of the chaos. Sam alluded to it earlier, and I want to get into it a little more in depth here. There was a call this past weekend to the Georgia Secretary of State, we've all heard it, in which President Trump is looking for votes, making kind of vague threats toward, or maybe not so vague threats toward the Secretary of State. You can listen to it in Georgia. The whole event yesterday. Crimes. We've talked about crimes that possibly Donald Trump committed in New York. Will he be indicted after he's out of office on January 20th? Let's set that to the side for a second. Just with what happened yesterday, the words, the speaking at the rally, the call to the Secretary of State in Georgia, are these really serious crimes? A lot of people said it last night in their speeches in Congress and the Senate.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but my view is they are, listening to people I respect who are lawyers, who are judges, and who have spoken out. Sedition, for instance. Now, let me very quickly read you just a portion of what is sedition. If two or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States, contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined under the title imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Insurrection is another one. I won't bother to read that. But there are ways to apply to Donald J. Trump, to Donald J. Trump Jr., to Rudy Giuliani, who were inciting the faithful, their supporters, to march on the Capitol, to take matters into their own hands. Giuliani even said it had to be a war. There are ways to bring him to court. There are ways to bring him to justice. And I hope those ways, like the two U.S. attorneys in Ohio. Another thing that interests me is not, of course, just the people who adhere to Trump and don't know better, because they are ignorant. Again, not in the pejorative use of the word. It's simply a matter of fact. They don't know things. They can't separate what's fact from fiction, because they don't listen to anyone who would say, well, have you considered this or that or the other? What about the people who know better? Now, I'm going to say to you, the eight senators finally at the end did object to one or more of the objections raised by the House and one senator or the other. 139 House members did. Among them, Steve Chabot, Warren Davidson, Bob Gibbs, Bill Johnson, and Jim Jordan, of the great state of Ohio. I don't know these gentlemen. I don't think I've ever met any of them. I've watched Mr. Jordan, of course, on television repeatedly, who loves not to come with his jacket and waves his arms, and has a very good use of the English language. They know better. What moved them? And maybe to this moment, because I haven't seen any retractions from them as I have from Lindsey Graham, what moved them to support Donald J. Trump? They knew better.
That's a very good question, and in Jim Jordan's case, even more important, because we sit in his district right now.
I know that.
So that's an interesting question, maybe we'll find out. As we look at this, I guess, and again, we don't know. It's all conjecture at this point, but in 13 days, there is going to be a new president. There is going to be a new attorney general. Is it likely, with this still being a fresh memory, that Donald Trump could be charged on the federal level for what happened yesterday? They are not pleased. Joe Biden is not pleased at all.
No, and Biden is a marginal figure in the news at this point, but it will loom large soon. I watched him yesterday. I think maybe you or others did also. He talked about insurrection, and he talked about the horror of what we'd seen. Now, his view so far has been, let's get back together. It's not quite been, let's let bygones be bygones, but he has downplayed the idea that we'll take care of Donald J. Trump when I get in office. And however, I think that view may change. I remember Nancy Pelosi 2 years ago was dead set against an impeachment investigation of Trump, even though she knew he had committed the crime in the phone call with the president of Ukraine. Do us a favor, says Trump, meaning that if you want the military aid that you've actually been promised, we want to have you investigate the Bidens. That's a crime. Obviously, it's a crime. She knew that, and her rising caucus was impeachment. Well, when that happened, she had no choice but to say, yes, now we'll have to impeach him. And so Biden may have no choice, depending on the country's continued process of what happened yesterday and what should be done about it and who should be held accountable and what punishment should be administered. Because if we let people get away, I love your two U.S. attorneys of Ohio, you don't let them get away. With facial recognition, particularly the Yahoo sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair in the Capitol, holding a cell phone with his up and writing on the pad. Well, we can see him. I don't know who he is. There's no place on earth he can hide. He's going to prison. And I think many of those there who thought they were having a great time supporting the monster, well, their leader in the White House, they're going to prison. Now, there were 54 arrests yesterday, a minuscule amount. And again, there must be a commission to discover why there was not adequate force to prevent this. Why, actually, for an hour and a half after they began to storm the Capitol, before adequate force could arrive. And some people looking at the tapes of officers, not all of them, of course, moving aside barriers, and one of them actually summoning the rioters to come forward, the terrorists. Was there collusion? I'm certainly not saying that. I'm not a conspiratorial theorist. I think there was a massive failure. But these people must be found, and these people must be brought to justice. Everyone connected with this, who by malfeasance, misfeasance, deliberate action, did this to us, the people of the United States, our capital, they must be brought to justice, every one of them.
Not long after the last presidential election was over, Sam, you and I talked about Donald Trump is going to loom big in the Republican Party. He got a lot of votes. He overperformed what all the pollsters said he would, and everybody still wants his seal of approval. Now, yesterday happens, and a lot of speeches were given last night, and we don't know if there'll be charges for the current president when he is no longer the president in 13 days. Now, is it still the Trump Party? What do they do at this point? Is it a good idea to still want his blessing? Did yesterday change the conversation we had after the last election?
I think it did. Yes, that's why I said I think we may be now toward the road to redemption of democracy in our government and what would be considered normal actions and procedures in elections and in the way we think. But it's going to be a tough road, and it's not going to happen overnight. For instance, I've told you, I don't know the gentleman from the Ohio delegation who continued to support yesterday Donald J. Trump, but I do know that the 12 and perhaps 13 senators originally yesterday morning were going to object. Eight of them did. Four of them came off, and they're trying to save themselves. And perhaps they also can figure that they can do so now, if not impunity, with less of a risk that the Trumpsters in their states won't throw them out of office the next time they're up. I think that's also a key to why many people are seeing, like poor old Saul on the road to Damascus and became St. Paul, an epiphany. Because the fear of loss of power, of their elective office, which had them in a grip. Now, you kept seeing these stories, and as you know, I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico now. I'm retired. But from all the reporters in Washington over the years of how Republicans in the Senate and the House would privately tell them how much they hated Donald J. Trump and what he was doing and who he was and his vulgarity and all of that, but because they wanted to be reelected. So you have to tell me. Again, I don't want to get personal, but Mr. Jordan, who's had a successful career, who is obviously well-liked in the district where you sit, will the people of the district support him in his reelection bid in 2 years? I mean, well, I don't know. Will his continued, if he does continue to defend Donald J. Trump in every way and do it so brilliantly from the standpoint of waving the arms and using the English language, will they support him? And if he senses that they may not support him, will he suddenly have an epiphany on the road to Damascus? I can't tell you, but I'm telling you that many of Trump's supporters who seem to be his loyal supporters, Mike Pence being one who had to be as vice president, of course, I suppose, until now, are jumping ship and are coming up with a realization that they cannot continue in their support of this monster, this deranged, this truly sick man. So I don't know, but I think the hardcore will come down to what percentage. We've always thought it was around 30-32%. On any given day, his approval rating might be higher. He never, of course, came up to 50%, never in his presidency or in his seeking of the presidency. But I think the people who were there because they liked the money they were making off of him and the regulations that he was taking off the books that they didn't like in their business, all those kinds of people. And what about the evangelical Christians? What about the people who claim to have read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew? But they could tolerate Donald J. Trump because he brought them the judges who gave them the tax exemptions and who were bent on destroying Roe Wade, which perhaps they sincerely believe was murder. And I'm not going to want to get into that subject today. But will they continue to support him? Will Donald Graham Jr. support him? Well, I don't know. But I think a lot of people are coming off of him, and he'll never get them back.
Sam, two quick questions here because I think they're important. The first one is, yesterday the big story, and it's going to be the big story in all the papers today, is what happened at the Capitol. Now, other things happened yesterday, one of which being the election is certainly over now. It's been affirmed. We know what Mike Pence did. It's a done deal. President Trump knows he's leaving in 13 days. Now, that being said, in these 13 days, are people just going to quiet down now that this process has taken place and we're not going to talk about it and he's going to leave in 13 days and that'll be it? Or is it more likely that maybe he will be impeached? Maybe he will be asked to leave. Can he sit there as president for 13 more days? Is this going to be a quiet 13 days?
Well, as you know, I don't want him to sit there as president because I share to some extent the fear that I've seen expressed by people that I respect and that I think are serious people who worry about what in 13 days he will attempt to do. Yes, he played the court cards and lost that. He played the card of trying to get his vice president to lead a congressional revolt against certifying the Biden win, and he lost that. What else can he do? He can declare martial law, I suppose. Abraham Lincoln did, the only sitting president at the time who declared martial law at the outset of the Civil War. Now, will the people who will have to march at his bidding do it? I've suggested to you they won't. The military, U.S. military won't. What about federal marshals? What about law enforcement agencies? Will he try to declare martial law? What last card can this poor monster do? And so many people worry about it. That's why I along with other people, I don't know whether it's going to come to. We'll know in the next day or two, whether the 25th Amendment is seriously going to be, there'll be an attempt to get the cabinet together and the vice president and invoke it. But he still has, on paper, the power of the presidency. He still spread the lie that he had won an overwhelming, convincing election, which was stolen from him. And he says from his people, he doesn't care about his people, over the years. I mean, not only in private, but he's not even public denigrated the crowds of people who swarmed to him with great allegiance as their messiah. He doesn't want to be near them. Get away from me. Mm. He's the elite. They don't know it. So you say, will it be peaceful? No. He has always wanted to be the spotlight. He's always wanted to be the person who, in the news, is there. Well, he will continue to be the person we're going to talk about for the next several days. I think it may be until Joe Biden Jr. actually sits down in the Oval Office on the afternoon of the 20th, because there's not going to be a big parade like usual, and starts reversing some of Trump's executive orders and starts ordering with his own power that before he becomes the main topic of conversation. Trump will continue to be the person that will dominate the news.
Sam, and in our final 2 minutes here, this is kind of a long ball question, but you spent a lot of time in Washington. You have been in the Capitol quite a bit. You have dealt with the senators. You've dealt with the Congress members. That was your beat for a long, long time. Just personally, when you watch that, broken windows, people getting down, police barricading doors, did you ever think you'd live to see that? And as you watched it, obviously anger is an emotion that came out, but for some, you've been there. What did you think?
I remember the good old days when I was covering Congress, the Senate, and the House in the 60s, the early 60s, the middle 60s, and into the time in the 70s when I then became the White House correspondent with Jimmy Carter. It was a great, it's the best beat in town then, collegial in a sense. We reporters knew that we were on the side of trying to find out what was going on and report the news, but we felt we were part of a family. Now, that seems unrealistic. I never felt I was part of a White House family when I was White House correspondent for ABC News, although I enjoyed the time there to some extent, but it's a kind of a sterile beat. It's like they tell you what they want to tell you, and then you have to report it. But not in Congress. You had members that would talk to you. You had staff that would talk to you. Sit around coffee and watch them. I watched the great civil rights debate of 64. I watched the Southerners lose the filibuster. And I watched the law on Medicare, the Voting Rights Act. I watched Adam Clayton Powell expelled the congressman, the black congressman from Harlan, by the House of Representatives, and then, of course, the Supreme Court said, no, the voters get to expel him in an election. You don't get to throw him out. Those days were good days, and I think they were good days for the Republic. And in my memory, that's the way I wanted always to remember Congress, but I'll remember yesterday, too.
Sam Donaldson, no better way to start the morning this morning on a very tumultuous day in our history in the United States. Sam, I can't thank you enough, and I hope we talk again soon.
I hope so too, Scott.
Take care. Sam Donaldson. We'll be back with Eleanor Clift in about 15 minutes.
The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. Love to have you listen and just, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on